At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See home club for details.
Hi, it is time for TMZ.
Hey, it's time, son.
It's time for TMG.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to TMG. I'm your host, Travis Patton Sr. I enjoy discovering and sharing real-life moments of inspiration from everyday people. And this show is about finding moments of inspiration for our everyday lives. And look, and if you're going to tell me something, then tell me something good. Hi, everybody! Welcome to a brand new episode of TMG. I'm your host, Travis Patton Sr. Hey, guys, real quick, you know how I like to do this, guys. Don't forget to visit, subscribe, and share our YouTube page. That's Tell Me Something Good with a capital T. And as always, I want to give a huge shout out to my biggest supporter, my biggest fan, my loving wife, Nicole. Hey, girl, how you doing? I know you're watching. I know you're listening. Man, I'm so excited that you are all here today watching and listening to the show. And whether you are listening in China or Japan or Mexico or Trinidad and Tobago or Portugal or Spain or Canada or the UK or wherever you are listening right now around the world, let me take this time to tell you thank you. I'm so glad that you're here. And if this is your very first time to the show, your very first time tuning in or listening or watching, whether you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or whichever your listening platform is, do me a favor if you're watching this. Go ahead in the chat right now, type in the word new, N-E-W. Type in the word new for me. And maybe you're driving or you're at work and you aren't watching this and you can't type it in. That's okay. Go ahead and say it out loud and say it proud. I'm new, N-E-W. We thank you for all of our new watchers and new listeners. And if you're saying, well, Travis, listen, man, I'm not new, but I've been watching your show ever since you've been streaming. And I'm a faithful listener. Man, thank you so much. I appreciate you. I'm so glad that every time I come here, you show up. And you make me better every time you do. Thank you. Guys, this show has really got me excited about the topic and what we're going to talk about today. But before we get started on that, guys, everybody knows that this show is all about finding moments of inspiration in our everyday lives. So if you have an inspiring story that you'd like to tell and maybe come on a show, drop me an email at tellmesomething21@gmail.com. That's tellmesomething21@gmail.com. And you say, well, Travis, listen, I know someone. I got a friend or a relative. I got a coworker. Someone that has an amazing story that your audience would love to hear from. But I don't want to come on a show, man. I'm a little camera shy. That's okay. Still send us that information at tellmesomething21@gmail.com. And guess what? And you can even remain anonymous if you like. So there you go. Guys, listen, I want to go ahead and play some information from our sponsors. Once I do that, guys, we're going to come back and we're going to dive into this show. We're going to get started, guys. Don't go anywhere. We're going to come right back. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Don't go nowhere.
Walmart
I'm coming
is
back.
A proud associate sponsor of TMG Tell Me Something Good podcast. Please use the special link, bit.ly bit.ly/tellmesomethinggood and visit our sponsor. Remember, I may earn a commission when you buy through this link. Fanatics is the place to go for all of your officially licensed sports gear from your favorite sports and sports teams. Use the special link bit.ly/tellmesomething21 and pay a visit to our sponsor today. Remember, I may earn a commission when you buy through this link.
Breaking your phone sucks. Breaking your phone, then trying to sell it online, sucks. Breaking your phone, selling it online, only to find out that the money you'll only get for it sucks. Breaking your phone, selling it online for peanuts, shipping it, and finding out that you got scammed sucks. Gizmogo makes selling your phone fast, safe, and simple by paying you the highest price for your device. And with Gizmogo's free unlimited shipping and price guarantee, millions of people are starting to sell on Gizmogo. Fast, safe, simple. Gizmogo, the best way to sell.
There it is right there, guys. Please visit one of our affiliate sponsors. The information is right there below in the chat. And if you're not watching this, listen up. We're going to play it with you guys again later. Guys, like I said, I'm totally excited about today's episode. But before we get started, guys, this is this month, February. As you can see behind me, February is Black History Month. This is not just an opportunity or a time to celebrate all things that African Americans have created here in the United States, but all the things and all the impact that Africans and Americans have created and done for around the world. So I want to go ahead and give a shout out to that history. Take the time to discover your history, guys, so we can know and have a brighter future. Guys, if you were not aware of what today's episode topic is all about, because I've been sitting on pins and needles waiting for them. Guys, today's topic is voices unheard. Yeah, voices unheard. And how apropos it is that we are in Black History Month. And the today's topic is voices unheard. Now, I know when you hear that topic, your mind is racing and you're wondering, where's Travis going to go with this? What if I said giving someone else a hand is also a great way to help yourself? Or what if you knew something terrible was about to take place and you could contribute to either stopping it or easing the pain of those impacted by it or affected by it? Listen, society in large is impacted by many things. Those things that we see every day on the news and hear about in throughout social media, they do not begin with the news at 5 o'clock. They do not begin with the 10 o'clock news, and they do not begin with that social media post that you just saw. That's not where they begin. Those things we see and hear about are many times the symptoms of other issues, and they are played out and displayed in society. And sometimes the careless and seemingly casual violence we hear about is no exception. Let's talk about let's talk about some things, guys. Let's talk about those whose voices go unacknowledged and how this impact plays a bigger role in some of the things we see in our society and around the world, and actionable steps that we can take to lend a helping hand. Guys, today, we're joined here on TMG by a very special guest. She is a social and behavioral scientist with degrees in business, human behavior, and theology. Guys, do me a favor. Give a huge TMG welcome for Zinnia Barr. What's up, Zinnia? How you doing?
Hey, how you doing? Thank you for the introduction. Thank you for having me. Yeah, I'm happy to be here and share my knowledge and expertise with your audience.
Fantastic. I'm so excited that you can, as you can see, to have you joining us on the show today. You and I talked before the show. So, guys, listen, mix this up. This is going to be so, so good. You're going to be glad to tune in today, guys. Dr. Barnes, like I said, I'm really excited to have you here to discuss the importance of this topic. So thank you for your time and thank you for lending your expertise. Now, let's dive in, Dr. Barnes. I want to hear, I want to start with just a little bit, Dr. Barnes, about yourself, if you will. If you don't mind, please share a little bit about yourself and exactly what it is that you do, Dr. Barnes.
Absolutely. Thank you for the opportunity to do so. So I am a social and behavioral scientist. I am also a trauma coach and a leadership and development coach. And what I do is I use my expertise and my knowledge in advanced human behavior to help individuals live their best life. And by that, I mean learn to fall in love with themselves again so that they can show up and be the person that they want to be and not the person that other people try to force them to be. And what a befitting day to be here today, especially with our topic, because we're going to get into how there's always triumph in the trenches. And you know, that's my motto, triumph in the trenches. I have books about that. How you can show up, be yourself, and demand and claim the space and the privilege that you deserve.
Absolutely. I like that. Triumph in the trenches. Now, I'm not going to get sidetracked, Dr. Barnes. I know you're trying to bait me to get sidetracked, but that right there is good. That right there is good by itself, Dr. Barnes. Triumph in the trenches. And I'm going to leave it alone because it's too tempting. It's too tempting. But I'm just going to say this anyhow. A lot of times we feel that when we're in the trenches of things, in the trenches of life or our relationships, or even when it comes to our and the way that we see ourselves, every battle is won in the trenches. And that your toughest fight is going to be in the trenches. If you can learn to deal with the trench, you can learn to deal with the victory. Yeah, let me say that again. If you can learn to deal with the trench, you can learn to handle your victory. I'm going to leave that alone right there, Dr. Barnes, because you're not going to get me stirred up early in the morning. I'm not going to do that, Dr. Barnes. You're trying to get me. Y'all, she's trying to get me early. I'm trying to have a nice conversation. She's trying to get me started early. Dr. Barnes, when we talk about, when we talk about those voices unheard, we talk about those voices that aren't heard. And when we talk about those voices going unacknowledged, Dr. Barnes, we're typically discussing those who have been left behind, or as we hear a lot of times in the media or in the news, marginalized individuals. Now, so we can have kind of a base to build on and discuss. Can you, Dr. Barnes, can you help us to define what it means to be marginalized, and what are some possible things that we do as a society or even as individuals to contribute to that marginalization that we hear about and people talk about so much?
Whew. Well, how much time do we have now? So when we think about marginalized, we have to think about the way the system has been rigged and set up, right? So marginalized represents anyone who is socially, economically, politically, or I want to say displaced, right? And when I say displaced, what has been done is it has been communicated that if you any type of way different from the opposer, then you are marginalized because you are limited in resources, you are limited in economics, you are limited in equality, you're limited in access. And that's the simplest way to put it. Right. When you are limited in access, they consider you marginalized. And so how we contribute to that is when we continue to tap into the stereotypes. When we continue to feed this message of you're not as good as me, or you're less deserving of, because you don't look like me, you don't come from where I come from. Like I said, right. This is so befitting because you look at the way we're going in and the removal of anything other. And that's the thing. Marginalized is considered the other. So any other is considered, is with how we control. We say, oh, that's other. That you're not deserving of what I have.
Exactly right, Dr. Barnes. And that's very well put, a very well put definition, that it's not like other. And it's the, when I say other, guys, we're talking about an established norm. Once there's an established norm or normalcy, anything that's different than that can be marginalized, or anything that's different than that can also be pushed back where the voice of that thing is no longer heard. And it is important that we and everyone voice gets heard, because whenever a person's voice or a people's voice is not heard, that's when where that marginalization that Dr. Barnes was talking about, that's mm-hmm. where that comes in, Dr. Barnes. And a lot of times, Dr. Barnes, you said, I asked a question. I said, well, Dr. Barnes, how do we as individuals contribute? You said, well, if we feed into the stereotypes. If we mm-hmm. have, and the stereotype is a way of thinking. If we not only if we accept that way of thinking about ourselves that someone else already has about us, we're marginalizing ourselves. We're already putting ourselves, right. counting ourselves out. We're already counting ourselves. We're already excluding ourselves. So the first thing is this: in order for me to address marginalization with someone else, I gotta first address it with myself. What do I think about me? What do I think about myself? How do I see myself in this grand scheme of society, in this grand scheme of the world? If I think and see myself as every stereotype that they ever said, I will always be that way. If I think and I see myself as every stereotype they've ever told me I've heard all my life, I will always be that way. And I wonder why I can't turn the page, I can't turn the corner. It has nothing to do with somebody else. Listen, you can't get mad if you can't get mad about not being able to turn the page when the book is in your hand. Yeah, I can see if the book, no, the book is in your hand. So it's up to us. It must begin with how we see ourselves. And so that was very great that you brought that point out, because Dr. Barnes, a lot of times the first thing is, well, it's there. It's there. No. What did you believe about yourself? What did you tell yourself today when you woke up this morning? What have you been telling yourself throughout the entire day? What have you been telling yourself about yourself throughout the entire year? But you've been telling yourself for those 18 years you've been alive, for those 30 years you've been alive, for those 50 years you've been alive. What have you believed about yourself? That's good, Dr. Barnes. I told y'all this was some good stuff today.
And then you have to hold on, because now you have to add another layer to that. Because it's not only what have you been telling yourself, but it's what have you been learning about yourself. So you have to unlearn a lot of behaviors in order for that you to get to a place so that you can know who you are. So before you can even dig into the self-inventory, you have to understand that this is generations of marginalization. It didn't just start yesterday. It's not like woke up and say, hey, we are marginalizing people. It just started with me. It didn't. This is a generational cycle of things that's been going on. So in order to understand that, you have to understand and acknowledge that your parents did the best what they could, because they also had to go through a cycle of what was passed down to them. So there's a lot of work that you are doing on yourself. So yes, it's that self-inventory of understanding, like, okay, who am I? Who do I want to be? And how do I move myself forward so that I'm not so I'm not looking outward all the time to feel fulfilled. And so what happens with marginalization, you are programmed systematically to believe what everybody else has told you for generations. And so now you see, so the up there, you know what I'm saying? So then there becomes an uproar and there becomes a disconnect when you start questioning. What happened is we didn't question and we were taught not to question. Even from when you were younger, it was like, you know, adults are talking, you in a child place, you are meant to be seen and not heard. And granted, there's times where you are meant to be seen, not heard, but there's a conversation that still needs to happen of explaining what does that mean when a parent says to you, you're meant to be seen and not heard. All right. That's an outside thing. But when at home, there's a discussion that you have. There's a discussion that you have where you explain to that child. It's like, yes, you are a child. Children belongs in a child's place and you don't get in adult conversations, you know, and so that you have a different type of conversation. But you also explain to them their value, because if not, you got disconnected. Oh, okay. Because if not, if you won't explain that value and that worth to them, then their voice becomes mute. And so they believe people say to them, your voice doesn't matter. They believe when other people say to them, just sit down and dribble. They believe when other people say, you just need to look pretty. No need to look pretty. I have a voice. I have a mind. And I have a voice that I'm going to establish. And I'm going to say to you, these are the things that I value, and these are the principles that I stand on, and I'm not willing to accept anything. You're not comfortable with doing that, or you haven't been taught to do that. You don't know how.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When it's like a lot of times, Dr. Barnes, there are a lot of adults who have grown up and their voices are on mute. Now, I'm glad you said that. We're talking about voices unheard. It's a lot of adults walking around and their voices are mute. And you say, well, why is this person angry all the time? Why is this person always frustrated all the time? It's not because they're angry all the time. It's because they're trying to be heard. All the years of their voices being on mute, all the years of no one acknowledging their voice even exists, all the years of their voice not having any weight and any worth to it, all those years, when they finally let it out, Dr. Barnes, is anger. When they finally let it out, Dr. Barnes, is frustration. When they finally let out, Dr. Barnes, they're screaming, they're yelling. It's not that I'm an angry person. It's that I've been on mute. Have you ever had a radio, or you had a radio playing? And I get it for those who don't listen to radio anymore. I got you. I'm old. I'm dating myself. But if you ever turn the radio, right, and you turn the radio up or you turn your television up as loud as it can go, but then you mute the volume, but you turn it up as high as it can go, but then you mute the volume. Once you mute the volume, you hear nothing. It's quiet. It's complete quiet. But the moment you unmute it, all of a sudden it come blast at you real loud. And then you go, oh my God, I'm offended because it's so loud. It's always been loud. It's always been strong. You just had me on mute. I've always had something to say. Listen, for all of you who's listening right now, let me tell you something. Let me interject this. You've always been important. You've always had something worth saying too. You've always had something worth hearing. You've always had something worth listening to. The problem isn't that you didn't have anything worth listening to. The problem is you have been on mute. That's what the problem is. You've been on mute all this time. It's not that you just started being important. You were already important. Dr. Barnes, with that being said, you brought up something that I wanted to go dive into next. But with that being said, is it possible? So based on what you were saying, is it possible that you could have a cycle of this reoccurring from one generation in a family or from within a culture that shows up in the next generation of children and adults?
Absolutely. It's there is cultural, it's a cultural generational cycle, You have to think, you have to realize, and it's a community generational cycle, right? Because when you within the community, everybody in the community is not necessarily from the same culture. And I'm going to say that one more time. Everybody in the same community is not necessarily in the same, from the same culture. And you have to understand that. You have to realize that everybody comes with their own experiences. They
come
with their own upbringing and background. It's important that we understand that, because you have to recognize when and be intentional about how you spend your time. I keep showing up in the space, and I'm constantly you, and I feel like my voice is not heard, but I keep showing, I keep trying to interject myself. You have to realize at some point, this is not the place that this is not the place that I need to be. I'm gonna take my expertise somewhere else because it's not valued here. It's not valued here. That does not have something wrong with me. I take it as it's something wrong with the setting. It's something wrong with the place.
Correct.
That's here, and can make a conscious decision, an intentional decision to say, I'm gonna allow you to keep me on mute, but I'm going to recognize my worth, that, and take up the space that I go somewhere else and do this. That's because, like you said, I do have a voice, and I'm not gonna allow anybody. I'm not gonna allow anybody to take my passion and my expertise, take my knowledge for granted, or misconstrue it. Anything else. So you're not going to take my passion and that it's aggression. You're not going to say because I'm passionate she's always upset or drop around the edges, she's rough. Like, no, that's not true. That is not true at all. I can be passionate about this and still be intelligent about what I'm talking about. I can also say, you know what? It doesn't make any sense for me to argue with someone who's not trying to hear what I'm saying. Because when two idiots are arguing and the third person walk by, they don't know which one. They don't know what's two people. They don't know who's the idiot. They just know, they look at it, it's two idiots. They can't tell that one's more intellectual than the other because you're both trying to scream over the over the other person, trying to prove a point when no one's listening. You know, so you have to know when to remove yourself and say, you know what? I'm going to let my silence be an example of my knowledge and knowing that it's not worth me having this debate with someone who's never going to try to hear what I'm saying.
Exactly. And when we're talking about voices unheard and marginal, and when you talk about voices unheard, I think about those marginalized individuals that we talk about and we hear about and all the time on social media or on the news, Dr. Barnes. And you're right. It's a cycle. It's a cycle. You can look at it. It'd be one culture, and it goes from one generation to the next generation to the next, and it continues to go on. And then what they'll do is they'll say, that culture is always having that problem, or that type of family is always having that problem. And a lot of times, that type of family is going to continue to have that cycle until Dr. Barnes, until someone decides to break it, until someone decides to say, hey, you know what? Exactly. We need to be heard. Until someone decides to say, hey, like you said, my voice is worth hearing. What I have to say is worth listening to. And a lot of times aggression is coined differently. When it's coined aggression, a lot of times it's really just passion. Anytime you find someone that aggressive, automatically, Dr. Barnes, a lot of times their voice has been muffled. They're muffled. Their voices have been on mute. And whenever you have a person whose voice is on mute, it's just like a television. You turn that thing on mute for so long. But when someone hits that mute button, everything that you see is going to come out. So when that person begins to speak, they're talking about it. You hear everything. They upset about this. They upset about this. They're problem with this. They got a problem with everything. They don't have a problem with everything. They've just been on mute too long. And I don't know who's listening right now. Yes, I do. Somebody is listening right now, Dr. Barnes, and they're feeling like they have been on mute all their lives. They feel like what they say is worth listening to. They feel that no matter how much they talk about it, it means nothing to anyone. They feel like they're at mute at home. They're at mute in their relationships. They're mute on their job. They're mute when they say they got a dream and nobody wants to hear it. They're mute. You tell somebody your dream and then nobody can go along with you. Nobody's patting you on back. No matter how much you try, it feels like your words are on mute. No one can hear the things that you're saying. And we talk about individuals who are marginalized, Dr. Barnes, this is how they feel. It goes from cycle to cycle. We can see a parent do it, then a child, then a grandchild, then an auntie, an uncle. And you can look at the child and see the same things that the parent went through because the cycle of being unacknowledged is repeating itself. Dr. Barnes, what are some of the impacts? This being said, though, what are some of the impacts in which the absence of acknowledging these voices and acknowledging these individuals, what are some of the impacts in which the absence of acknowledging the voices of parts of society have on society play? Do they play a bigger role in things that we see in society? And ultimately, these individuals, for instance, let's say we begin to just ignore the voices of those who are teenagers. Because, oh, they're just a child. They're just a teenager. What do they know? Or they're in that young adults. They're 20. Oh, don't pay them attention. They don't know what they're talking about. They haven't lived long enough. What are some of the impacts that what happens when we begin to not acknowledge these voices of individuals?
So I'm glad you asked that, because we look at the rates of violence that we see in our communities now. And so you have violence that comes. You have a lack of ability to communicate their thoughts, their feelings, their emotions. You have high suicidal rates. You have crime. You have a high use of drugs. And alcohol, because what happens when you feel unheard, you take that stuff within and you believe that it's your fault. And so when you don't know how to manage or deal or what to do with those feelings, what do? You try to numb the pain because you think that the pain is your fault. And what you want to do is you try to numb it. And it's also learned behavior. If you grew up in a household where feelings were stuffed down, And you were not taught to talk about what was going on, and not just talk, but communicate effectively. Be able, and that's what that's what Voices Unheard is. Voices Unheard is about the lack of communication.
Absolutely,
effective communication. We can both talk, but if we're not listening, actively listening, and when I say listening, I don't mean listening for your chance to respond. I mean listening so that you can understand what the person is saying, and then saying, I hear you. And you know what? I need some time to process that so that I can respond back to you in a way that makes sense to us both. Because when you try to respond right away, you wasn't listening to what that person was saying. You and your mind was just going. Mm-hmm. It was going and going and going so that you can have your window. You ever been in a conversation and the person, when they do respond, you like, what does that have to do with what I just said to you? Those are voices unheard. Those are voices unheard because they were so used to not having a chance to process their thoughts and feelings. They only know how to respond based off of, let me get my win in. Let me get what I have to say in. I can't hear you. I don't want to hear you. I don't want to understand where you're coming from, because this is my window to say what I need to say, because I've never had an opportunity to say anything before. And that's what happens when you continue to marginalized people, when you continue to have people, or especially our youth, when you continue to have those folks and you say you don't have a voice, your voice don't matter. Right. When they do speak, they want to get everything out. They want to get everything they've been holding for a long time. It don't have to make sense. It doesn't have to go along with whatever the topic is. I just want to say everything that I need to say. And so in order for us to disrupt that, we have to create safe spaces so that people can learn to communicate, that they can say what it is that they need to say, so they can get what they need to get off their chest. I'm a, for example, when I was a dean, in the middle school for a couple of years, and I had policy I had in my office. Student got sent out of class. I said, you got 2 minutes. 1 minute is for you to just vent and say everything you gotta say. And then the next minute is so you can tell me what happened. Because after that, then I'm going to set the timer for 2 minutes. And I'm going to, you know, and then I'm going to say, this is what I heard from you. This is, you know, this is the situation that we need to address.
Good.
This is how we're going to move forward. Not only did I build a reliable relationship with my students also respected me because what? I gave them a voice. I allowed them be able to say the things that was bothering them. So they were able to say, you know what? She listens. Okay, I'm going to listen to what he has to say. And so rather than them constantly being out of class, they were willing to calm down, take whatever consequence, if it was a consequence, and go back to class because they felt like they were being heard. And that's the problem. When we do not create a space to allow people to feel heard and we continue to mute people's voice, we're going to continue to bump heads. We're going to continue to have high levels of crime. And that is no matter whatever race you are, whatever community you come from, that is that goes everyone. And you're going to continue to have situations.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Where people are committing suicide, where people are using drugs, where people are numbing their pain with alcohol and things of that nature because they feel like they are not being heard and their voice doesn't matter.
Wow. And let me say this, Dr. Barnes. You're so correct in everything that you're saying. Whenever a person, you know, they feel like everything is my fault. You know, I'm the reason why they're not hearing me. Once we begin to keep people on mute long enough, Dr. Barnes, you know what happens when we take them off mute? Either one, they take it to the extreme and they say everything. Or two, Dr. Mute, they just remain mute and say nothing at all. Mm-hmm. And it's because they're so used to not being heard. Why start now? You're not going to hear me anyway. Why say something now? You're not going to pay me attention now. And let me say this. What we say, our voices, is tied to our self-worth. And the reason a lot of times a lot of people don't say anything is not because, oh, they're just a quiet person. They don't say anything. No. They got something to say. You just not listen to the right thing. They got something to say. It's just
sometimes my nothing to say is me saying a lot.
A whole lot.
Because when I'm here, I'm very low. I'm very quiet. So you can tell the difference because that when I lean in and I don't say anything at all, that's me saying a lot. That's me saying a lot, and you're just not listening. Right, you're just not listening, right? And so you have to recognize, you have to realize the most important thing is this is what happened with voices unheard. They will either become a voice unheard will either become an abuser or victim. Mm.
Say that. Say it again, Dr. Barnes. There, what?
They will either become a victim or an abuser. Because when I can't get out what I want to say, I act out. And how am I going to act out? Most 9 times out of 10, when a person act out, they act out with violence. They act out with their hands. They want to hurt somebody because you're not listening to me. So they put their hands on people. They want to hurt people. Or take it to extremes. They pick up a weapon, you know, and in a split second, both lives change. The person they were communicating, the person they were trying to get a point across to, and their life changed. Wow. And then you also have those who feel like their voice has been unheard for so long, where it's just like, well, you know what? I deserve this, so I'm just not going to say anything because you're not going to listen. Or they grew up in a household where that being that keeping you quiet, keeping you down was a way, that was a way to show come love. On. So you know what? This must be it. So that's why I said
this must be love. Right.
You know, it gets misconstrued. So as they become a victim, or they become the abuser. They become the abuser, wow, or the victim. So it's important to make sure that you understand where you are and you know how to communicate, so that you can say, you know what? I don't want to be either one. I refuse to be either one. So what?
I know that's right.
I'm going to work on myself. I'm going to work on myself, because when I know what I bring to the table, I don't expect you to give me anything, because I know what I'm worth. And so that's a lot of the work that I do. That's a lot of the work that I do in my community with survivors of gun violence, mm-hmm, domestic abuse, survivors of people that are living with long-term illnesses, mm-hmm, the elderly. It's important that within our communities, we have these discussions, correct, of under you are and what you bring to a table, so that you can know how to communicate and articulate that. When you can articulate, correct, that, then, correct, people cannot, they can't take your voice from you. People take your voice from, they take, right, the voice of those who don't know how to articulate or communicate with others. They impose this inferiorness on you, to where you feel inferior, mm-hmm, to someone else. So you say, oh, they speak so well. You ever been in a room where somebody said, oh, I didn't know you speak so well. And it's like, well, why would you not speak so well? Boy, like, what gave you the impression? Like,
what did gave you that impression, like, about me?
What were you expecting? What were you expecting? So it's important, you know, and that's another thing with marginalized people. That's another thing. People try, they display these labels on the marginalized community, that everyone from a marginalized, right, community is loud and rowdy, you know, and things of that nature. And that is not true. That is not true at all.
You know, Dr. Barnes, you're hitting on so many different things. One of the things I like that you mentioned, you said it begins in the home with the conversations we have with our children. And we tell, mm-hmm, our children, we don't allow them to express themselves emotionally. And you gotta understand this, when kids are small, 3 years old, 4 years old, they're still trying to learn how to process everything. Because just think about it, 4 years ago, they were little babies. They had no mm-hmm, language, no communication. So at 3 and 4, even though they may be able to speak well, they're still learning the art of communication. They're still learning, mm-hmm, how to communicate. So what we communicate to them is going to be very important in the way they learn to communicate with others once they grow up and get out of the home. You are absolutely right. The art of communicating is so important. It starts with we communicating with ourselves, and it starts with how we communicate kids. But you said something early on. You said, we must remember that our parents have given us what they gave, what was given to them. They had a half a dozen eggs, so all they could give you was a half a dozen eggs or what they had left. If all, right, they had was one egg left in that carton, baby, that's all you're going to get is one egg left in that carton. I'm sorry. I'm not making an excuse for any behavior, but they can't give what they don't have. And a lot of times, mm-hmm, we're talking about voices unheard. When voices go unheard for so long, Dr. Barnes, people begin to believe, and they buy into that narrative that my voice is not worth hearing. I have nothing worth saying. We buy into the narrative that if I'm not of a different culture, of a different race, of a different belief, if I'm not part of that, then I have nothing important to say. And we both know that is not true. What are some practical things, Dr. Barnes, that you do to help individuals know that they are seen and their voices are acknowledged in society?
So I'm glad you asked that question. There's so many things that you can do, from encouraging them to get involved with things that within their community, whether it be community board meetings, whether it be other grassroots organizations that's in their community. There's so many things, even down to the smallest things, to where it's writing in your journal, staring in the mirror and talking to yourself and saying the things that you need to be said out loud. Like, I am enough. I am worth it. I have a voice. My voice needs to be heard. Being able to do those things, whether you believe it in the moment or not, you say it until you do believe it. Those are the things that you can do. In my community, I often hold virtual and in-person workshops called Loving Yourself Through the Trauma. So there is a safe space where people learn to fall in love with themselves all over again. That's a very important and intentional workshop that I do, because often people forget, with all the trauma and the chaos that's around them, they forget what it's like to feel love. Or sometimes people don't even know what they believe love is. And so until you learn how to fall in love with yourself, it's difficult for you to be compassionate or share love with others. So I would say, if you want to do something right away within your community, talk to your neighbors. Talk to your neighbors. Do something nice for somebody. Do something nice for a stranger. Like, it's the little things that we take for granted that we don't realize. A small smile, that's something that might be minute to us, could save someone else's life. And that's the big thing. It's bringing back the village in our community. When we begin to bring back the village of healing and love and hope within our community, that is how we begin to change the narrative. That is how we no longer become or see ourselves as marginalized. Because as long as we keep saying we are marginalized people, then we're allowing ourselves to stay within that box.
Absolutely. Say that right there. That part right there, Dr. Barnes. Exactly. You know, Dr. Barnes, I'm a big believer in positive confession, Dr.
Leave
Barnes.
It there.
I'm a big believer. I'm a big believer in positive confession, Dr. Barnes. I'm a big believer in believing that everything starts with us. I said earlier during the show, I said we can't complain that no one is allowing us to turn the page in our lives when we are the individuals holding the book. You got the book in your hand. You have it in your hand. And how are you going to say, well, Dr. Barnes won't let me turn the page of my book? Dude, the book is in your hand. You know, there are things that...
You're the main character.
I know, right? There are things that we can't control.
Listen, turn the page. And I tell my clients this all the time. You are the main character, and you can always rewrite your story. You want to reclaim your power? You rewrite your story. You say, this chapter is done. I'm starting a new one. And that's what I tell my clients all the time. And so I bring that, and that's why I brought up journaling, because as a part of any program that I offer, I always have my clients journal down. And for some, it leads to them doing short stories or writing a book, but it also leads to them getting a better keen sense of self, because I tell them it allows you to go back and reflect on things and reflect on triggers and behaviors that you didn't realize that you were doing before, you were accepting before. And that's how change come about. It comes about when you're willing to face the things that you were putting off, and you're willing to say, I acknowledge that this happened, but I'm not going to let this trauma or these triggers be who I am. And so if you want to do something different, then do something different.
Listen, guys, did you hear that? If you want to do something different, then do something different. Dr. Barnes, I told you this was going to be good. I told you, Dr. Barnes. I told you. Do you also spend, we spend a lot of time talking about different things, about voices unheard. Do you also spend time assisting Dr. Barnes with some of the psychological toll of marginalization that occurs and happens on people, for example, experiencing constant discrimination, microaggressions, and exclusion? You know, if someone constantly excludes you, couple times, you may say, I ain't gonna worry about it. But if it is a pattern of that happening over a period of time in your life, where you're excluded, whether your family, your home, your work, your job, relationships, or maybe it's socially excluding you, or maybe even because this is 2025, maybe you're feeling excluded on social media sites. You know, you try to jump in and all of a sudden you get a whole bunch of negative posts on your picture. You post a picture of things that you were happy about. You get a whole bunch of negative posts about those things. Do you also help individuals deal with some of the psychological impacts of those? Because whether we like to admit it or not, and we like all like to think that we're strong as all get out and that we're strong as, you know, as a superhero, if we constantly receive that negative feedback, it can psychologically impact us, and it can psychologically be, and it will eventually show up in our behavior, which eventually will show up in society, which eventually show up in culture, which will eventually show up in the world. So do you also help individuals to deal with that psychological impact of that?
Absolutely. And I'm so happy you brought that up, because I was just having a discussion with someone else about this. This is a topic that I have in my latest book called Triumph in the Trenches, Volume 2. And so it's about recognizing who you are and being willing to disengage. When you continue to share all of yourself with everybody, and I say this because you brought up social media, when you continue to share all of yourself with everybody, you open up the window for everybody to have an opinion. When you put all your business on, when you put all your business on social media, I'm happy. Just got a new job. Just finished this. Just doing it. I'm thinking about doing this. It gives people who are unhappy with themselves an opportunity to try to make you unhappy with your accomplishment. So you need to understand that not every part of you belongs to everybody. You be intentional about what you share with other people, because there's a lot of people who are in your face just to play in your face. And when I say that, I mean there's a lot of people who are there, but they're not really cheering for you. So you got to understand, it's so easy for people to be there for you when you're up. You got to take toll and, you know, count the ones who are there when times are rough and who are there and who are calling you to really check on you when you're feeling down.
Wow.
So, because when you have those people, you can recognize and you can weed through the ones who are saying, like, if you say, I have this business or this is this vision that I want to do and everybody's telling you going to do it, you have to be okay enough to know that the vision that you have is your vision and the vision is not meant to be understood by everybody. God gave the vision to you. He didn't give it to everybody. If he gave a vision to everybody, then everybody will be doing it. It's your vision. So you have to be okay, and that's as well as being a leader. You know, you have to be okay and understanding you're going to lose some friends on this journey, but that's because they wasn't meant to go with you. Along the path, some people are going to fall off, and that's okay. As you grow up, you're not going to have the same friends. As you develop and as you become more mentally conscious, as you begin to fall in love with the person that you are now becoming, you have to realize when you stop partying, the people who want to party all the time, they're not going to want to hang out with you no more because they feel like, oh, he or she boring. They don't want to go to the club no more. It's not that. It's just that I'm intentional about what I'm doing with my time. Going to the club is not making me money, so I stopped doing that. When you start going, you know what? I'm not gonna go out to eat all the time because you know what? I want to make sure I take care of this debt. So the money I was spending going and hanging out, I'm gonna now take that money and I'm gonna put it on bills so that I can lower my debt so I can get this thing that I was saving up to. I want to get a house, so I know I gotta cut back on wasteful spending. And they start going, oh, you think you better than us because you want to get the help. It's not that I think you better. I'm just thinking differently. Why don't you want to think differently? So now you start reevaluating your friendships. So becoming an adult can be very lonely when you open your eyes, when you take those rose color shades off and you start recognizing where you're going may not be meant for everybody. Then you become comfortable with being uncomfortable. The problem is we're so uncomfortable with being uncomfortable, we get afraid of it. So we want everybody to like us. If we stop worrying about everybody liking us and worry about being comfortable with ourselves and loving ourselves, then we're okay when we start realizing, you know what, maybe this relationship wasn't for me. Whether it's family, whether it's relatives, whether it is an intimate relationship, whether it is a professional relationship, not all relationships were meant to last forever.
Wow, say that.
And we have to, you know, we have to understand that. We have to understand that. And I say that because that's 9 times out of 10, that's where the problem lies in. When we start to self-doubt, because we get in this place where we feel like, well, at one point, this person did this to for me, so I owe them, I'm indebted to them for the rest of my life. No. You know, I'm pretty sure you paid it back. Or you paid it for it many a times. You have to understand, for your peace of mind, for your sanity, you have to learn when you need to disengage. Because misery loves company. And if you keep surrounding yourself with other people who don't want to go further than where they are, and they just like, I'm complacent where I am. I don't want more. I don't want this. Then they're going to be upset with you for wanting more, because they're going to feel like you think you're better than me because you want something more. And it's like, I don't think I'm better than you. I just know what I deserve and what I want.
Absolutely. You, Dr. Bond.
And so in order to break that cycle of feeling like you don't deserve something, you first have to understand who you are and what you want. Understand who you are and what you want, and then acknowledge, only way I'm going to get there if I surround myself with other people who are going on the same mission. So it's important, you know, it's important to answer your question. It's important to understand who you are. Get comfortable with being alone, because you're going to have to be alone sometimes.
Right.
Get comfortable with being alone and recognize that do not need other people's opinion of you to validate who you are. Stop waiting for some opportunity. Go out and take it. Waiting for opportunity to come to your house and get you, you're going to miss out.
I know that's right. I know. You said, Dr. Barnes, you said you... Yeah, you said that. I think the audio went out. Dr. Barnes, I'm gonna repeat something that you said when the audio went out. You said we do not need others' opinions of us to validate us. And let me say that to you guys. You do not need someone else's opinion of you to validate you. It's not what they think about you that matters most. It's what you think about you that matters most. It's not what they said about you that means a lot. It's what you say about you that means the most. Let me just put it to you this way. We as people, we will believe the things that we say before we believe what someone else says. Remember, they always have to convince you. You already believe what you're saying to yourself about yourself. So whatever you say about yourself, that's what's going to matter the most. And we're talking about, Dr. Barnes, voices unheard, these individuals who felt like they've been things excluded from, not heard, and, you know, or whether it be things like discrimination. And all these things psychologically begin to talk to you. All these things begin to have a conversation with you. You're in the middle of a crowd, but you're laughing, but you can have this conversation of stuff that's still going on. We understand all these things can lead to trauma, Dr. Barnes, every one of them, which if unaddressed, can manifest in harmful ways, both for the individual and society at large. What are some practical things in which the everyday person can get involved in and do and help amplify those voices of those individuals who are going unheard?
Talk. That's the best thing. The best therapy of what you can do is talk to someone else. Create a space. Not only talk, but listen. Create a space. Have you ever been in a conversation with someone who just, there's no window for you to get a word in? There's no window to get a word in. They just, the whole time, they just go. It's like, Well, is this a monologue or is this a dialogue? You know, you gotta create opportunities. Create opportunities for people to talk. And when what I find is those people, they're often people who don't get out much, okay, or they lonely or so. It's something that they're trying to. It's something that they're trying to overcompensate for. Mm-hmm. And so they don't. They it's like, you know what? I'm not gonna give you a chance to ask me anything, because then I will have to be real and I will have to pull a curtain back and be open. Mm-hmm. So you have to create these spaces. Be attentive, like understand your surroundings and create these spaces so that people can be. And I hate to say authentic, because you know what? I need another show for this authenticity, because I always tell people there's two levels to authenticity. You have your authentic person that's professional, that shows up to work, and then you have your personal authentic person that is for your inner circle. It's for your loved one. It's for your families. And so in order for you to do that, you got to know your surroundings. So if we want to create these spaces, we want to create these spaces where people can come. You want to go out and so with other people where you can be comfortable in the space, because it's tiring wearing a mask. If you continue to circle in spaces where you have to wear a mask, then you're doing more harm to be unheard.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's like I remember
you're also contributing to your voice being heard. So I'm going to say to anyone that's your voice to be heard, you need to get it out. Because guess what? When you get that courage of getting it out, then when you're around other people, you don't mind saying it. It's that fear of what someone else's response is what often keeps people also feeling like my voice doesn't matter, because they're afraid of what other people have to say. So in order for you to disrupt that and take your control back, be okay with hearing what you have to say. What you want people to do is respect what you have to say. I don't need you. Mm-hmm. I don't need you to accept or understand and go through that, but I do want you to respect that I do have an opinion, and this opinion, and you need to respect. And we can agree or disagree, but it's
correct
respect and acknowledgement that, like, I get you, I hear you, but I disagree. And that's what we need to learn.
Exactly.
That's what we need to learn.
Exactly. We won't always agree on everything. Imagine this question, Dr. Barnes. I know you wrote some wonderful books, and you do a lot in your community. You do a lot throughout in everything. You do a lot of work. Are there ways listeners can partner with you or local organizations in their area? I know I have your website here, Dr. Barnes. I'm going to share that with everybody right here. This is your website. So ways, and I'm looking at your books, Grieving to Heal, Triumph in the Trenches, The Recondition, and this one over here, the Courageous Pursuit of Authenticity. Are there ways, Dr. Barnes, that individuals can partner with you to help you do what you're doing, to help get these voices that are unheard be heard, or things that we can do maybe locally? They can do locally, who's listening?
Absolutely. So I do a lot of speaking engagements. They can always book me to come out and speak at their workshops, do some trainings. I have a couple of webinars, but also I'm also a founder of a non-for-profit organization called the Melquan Jatel Anderson Foundation, fighting against gun violence via education. And that's where I do a lot of my philanthropy work, where I contribute in the community to provide educational resources, work resources like employment hubs, where I keep the community updated on the employment opportunities that are in our areas, and also things that are virtual that they can go to, free trainings and things of that nature. So I'm always up and open to collaborating with others, because it's extremely important to share the knowledge and the connections. I'm from a long lineage of women who are connectors. My roots go back from all the way back from my grandmother. My roots go back to where it was important to make, my grandmother was a pastor, and it was important that she made sure that on Sundays, everybody had somewhere to come to eat. Whether it was her grandchildren, whether it was the people in the neighborhood, somebody else's grandchildren, whatever it was, you knew that you was able to go somewhere to get something to eat. And so for me, when I say go somewhere to get something to eat, it doesn't always have to be a hot plate. Sometimes it's a mental meal. Sometimes your brain needs to be fed, because if you feed your mind poison, guess what? It dies. But if you feed your knowledge, within my community, I definitely like to partner with other grassroots organizations. I love to partner with other entrepreneurs so that we can provide opportunities for individuals so they can learn how to change their narratives, so they can learn how to change their circumstances. Exactly. I might not be able to write you a check, but what I can do is point you in the direction of someone who probably can. Correct. I can point you in the direction of where you can get some resources so that you can change your circumstance. And that's the most important thing. When you can connect someone to something that they need, they will always remember who the connect was. They remember who they were able to connect with. And they can say, you know what? I don't know, but guess what? Dr. Barnes might know, so I'm going to give you her number, and she can, because she helped me. And if I can get one person per day to do that, then I'm happy, because I feel like I did my job. I'm okay with being the connector between individuals, because I know that if I can touch one and they can touch someone else, then we're touching a lot of people.
Absolutely, Dr. Barnes. Absolutely. I love that. And just some great information on your website. Dr. Barnes, I like to ask this of all my guests, you know, when we get ready to walk out the door. I'm asking you this question. So what advice would you provide to everyone who's listening, or anyone that's listening, to encourage them who first say they have been in and found themselves, or think they're in this cycle? This ongoing cycle, and that's all they know. All they know is my mom was like this, my grandma was like this, my cousin like this. All I know is we've been this way. So, what you say to someone who first finds themselves in this cycle? And secondly, what would you say to encourage others to get involved? So, those who say, man, I feel like I'm in this cycle. I feel like, yes, I feel like my voice has gone unheard. I feel like I've been on mute all this time. My mom was this way. My dad was that way. My uncle. What would you say to someone who said they feel like they're in this cycle right now, to encourage them? And what would you say to encourage someone to get involved?
So the first part, to someone, I would say, and this is something that I tell my clients, first I ask a question. Do you want to be a survivor, or do you want to be a victim? And that's going to give you your answer. Because when you say, I'm not a victim, most people will say that. I'm not a victim. You're right. Okay. So guess what you are? You're a person who of action. So take action.
Exactly.
Take action. Tell me what you want, and let's come up together with a plan on how we get there. Change is only going to come if you change it. So I would say, like I said before, if you want something different, do something different. Start looking at the people around you who can support and help you. And by support does not have to mean money. Support can be resources, being pointed in the right direction, being connected to the right individuals where someone else does have the resources. Be willing to work on yourself so that you can improve yourself. Stop trying to fix other people. Start by fixing yourself. So that would be, that's the first part. That's what I would say. So and to those who want to support, then support. Don't be a person, don't support only if you're getting something out of it. This work, listen, this work is not easy. And this work is not for the faint. It's not for the faint of heart. Right. If you want to be someone who is a pillar and someone really going to support a community, then you have to be willing to do it with knowing that you're not going to always get applause. There's a lot of people who say they want to do the work, but they only want to do the work with somebody is watching.
That's good.
I say out there to all those who want to, I want you to get connected with the people in your community. Learn the organizations that are in your community that are helping others and see how you can volunteer. See how you can show up. I understand that your time may be limited, but at some point, somewhere, somehow, you can show up for someone else. But make sure that you're showing up not only because somebody else is watching. Make sure you're showing up and you're willing to show up because that's something that you want to do, whether people are watching or not.
That's good. That's a great way to amplify those voices who are unheard. Dr. Barnes, don't go anywhere. Give me a couple seconds, Dr. Barnes. Let me get us out of here. Before I do, Dr. Barnes, I'm so glad you were here. Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Barnes. Don't go nowhere yet, Dr. Barnes. Let me get everybody out of here. Guys, today we were talking about voices unheard and marginalized individuals. Marginalized communities, guys, refers to groups of people who experience social, economical, and/or political exclusion or discrimination based on maybe certain characteristics such as your race, ethnicity, gender, sexual orientation, socioeconomic status, disability, religion, and multiplicity of other things. Guys, listen, everybody's voice matters. And before you tuned in today, you weren't even sure if your voice matters. Let me help you out. Your voice does matter. And from this moment on, if no one else tells you, tell yourself that you have something worth saying. Guys, we got to get out of here, but it's always imparting. Guys, listen, each week you can listen to the show 6:30 p.m. Central, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, every Thursday right here that you can listen. Or you can stream it on your favorite streaming platform like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, and so many more. Guys, as I get out of here, as always, imparting, if you're going to tell me something, then tell me something good. I'm out of here, y'all. I got to go. Peace.
Mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.